coming out of Montgomery, but still it's wet, so please be careful on your way home this evening as well. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. If you would mark that spot, but then also we're going to be in Revelation as well. No, I'm sorry, we'll be in Romans first. We're going to be doing some chapter surfing this evening, going through several different verses. But 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Are you there? All right, here we go. This is my life verse, by the way. When I first got saved, I had several verses that I really read and studied, and I really highly recommend and suggest that to you as well. It really helps you in your Christian walk just to pick verses out, even if it's just two or three verses a month. Just write them on a little index card, take them with you, keep them in your car or traveling, wherever you're doing, and just write those verses down and just read them and study them. It really helps you to get it in your mind, especially in times of need where something like that will help you. But this was one of the first ones I had on a memory card when I used to travel back and forth from Carrollton to, I guess it was Marietta when I was working up there. But 1 John 5 and 4 says this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I can almost read it by memory. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? That's a question. But John answers it. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Mark that spot there, but go to Romans 8, 37. It's a similar verse. It has a little bit of a different terminology to it, but it also describes what we're looking at in 1 John. Romans 8, 37. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is the conqueror, which is in Christ our Lord. That's 39. 37. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let me say it again. 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, but he says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Lord, again, thanks tonight for the safety in our travels. Just use this time together, Lord. Help us to disconnect from the world, from work, from situations that we ran across today. Help us just to focus on you. Help us, teach us, Lord, how we can be conquerors, how we can be overcomers in our Christian lives. Lord, it would not surprise me with a group like this and those watching online that there are folks today, Lord, that are going through challenges, tribulations, heartbreak, disappointments. I pray that you'll comfort them. Let us know that we have the victory through Christ Jesus. For we ask it in his name. Amen. But like I said, 1 John 5, 4 and 5 was my life verse, one of the first ones I really got to study and read and memorize over the years, even though as I get older, my memory gets worse. 1 John 5, 4 and 5 still is there fresh on my heart. We're going to talk about overcomers tonight. We're going to talk about conquerors and how we can challenge ourselves. I'll challenge myself, if you'll challenge yourself, to be more of a conqueror and more of an overcomer through Christ. If you're a sports fan, you might have heard the name Jim Abbott before. Anybody? Jim Abbott, he was a pitcher in baseball. And it was back in the 80s and 90s. As a matter of fact, he was from Flint, Michigan. I don't know if you knew that, Jerry. Jim Abbott was from Flint, Michigan. He grew up there. He played baseball there. He went to the University of Michigan playing baseball. And he got something called the Silver Spikes Award. And what it was an award for the best player in college baseball for that year that he played. After that, he went over and played for the USA's baseball team, and he pitched the final game of the World Series for U.S. baseball in the Olympics. He was the winning pitcher at that time. He went on to the major league. He played for six different teams. One of the teams were the Yankees, and he pitched a no-hitter. It was September the 4th, 1993, when he pitched a no-hitter, which doesn't sound like a lot when you talk about his history. He doesn't have a winning record. But the one thing about Jim Abbott, which is different, was he didn't have a right hand. So think about it. You guys that played baseball, or I played baseball myself, he didn't have a right hand. He was born with a defect in his hand, and so thus his right hand, he did not or not able to hold a ball, pick up a ball, throw a ball, but he would pitch with his left hand. And so when he would pitch the ball, his glove was underneath his arm. He would pitch the ball with his left hand, move the glove to his right hand on the end of his hand, and if he would catch something, he'd take the ball, flip it to his left hand, and throw the batter out. He overcame an obstacle. Jim Abbott was a Christian. Jim Abbott is a Christian. I think he's 56 years old. But his life verse was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheth me. I can do all things. Think about the challenges that would be for you all to watch baseball or play baseball. Think about the challenge that would be. But yet he rose above. He became an overcomer. He became a conqueror. And he gives God all the credit in his life. He's currently a motivational speaker. He goes all across the country talking about overcoming obstacles and being a conqueror. But he says a conqueror through Christ. God's looking for spiritual and influential leaders, those who will persevere and battle through everyday challenges and trials in our lives. Overcomers and conquerors, not only it's not through us, but it's through Christ Jesus through us. And what I want to look at tonight is maybe look at what does it take to be an overcomer? What does it take to be a conqueror in our Christian lives? The word overcomer comes from this Greek word, nikeo. It's an interesting word. Nikeo is the root word for overcomer. But when you define it and look at it, it's based upon the goddess Nike, N-I-K-E. Does that word sound familiar? N-I-K-E, Nike is what we have Nike today. And what that means is victorious. It means to be a winner. It's where we get the word Nike from today that we see in all athletic wears and everything that we have that's athletics type. It's Nike. But here's the definition. Here's what I want you to grab hold of. The definition of what an overcomer is, because what I want to do as I have over the past month, I've been studying this for a month, just getting in there and letting the Lord just work my heart and show me some examples and show me how I can be a better person as an overcomer as well. He challenged me this past month to just step out of the box, be different, go out there and let people see the life of Christ through you, how you've overcome the things in your life, because you can be an encouragement to somebody else. Overcomer is defined as to prevail. Win one's cause, victorious even in difficult situations. Think about it. We've already got the victory in Christ. He says, I want you to have victory in situations that are difficult. It talks about one who succeeds in dealing with or gaining control of problems or difficulties. The one definition that we're going to be really hitting upon tonight is one who overrules a situation and becomes victorious even when he is held hostage. And that's what happens when we get involved with sin, or if situations trial us, or all of a sudden we become depressed, or we get in a situation we can't figure out what's going on. We fall into this mode of depression or unknowing, or the words if start coming into our minds, and we become held hostage. We become held hostage to our own selves. One writer wrote this. He said, spiritually, one who is victorious and develops a victory over the flesh, overcoming and conquering Satan, can only be achieved through the grace and power of God that lives within him. And think about it. That's the only way we're going to overcome Satan and his fiery darts, is living through, letting Christ live through us to be overcomers and conquerors through him. Go back to 1 John 1, 5 and 4, if you would. Because I want to dive into that a little bit deeper and talk about those verses of Scripture. Even though we read them, I want to be able to look through those. So we have John. John's the writer of 1 John. John's also the writer of Revelation. And look at, again, 1 John 5, 4 and 5, where it says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. He's saying right there, an individual. If you've accepted Christ, if he's your Lord and Savior, you accepted what he did at the cross, at Calvary, for our sins. He gave his life for us as an atonement, our propitiation. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. We are overcomers. If you're sitting in here tonight, if you're watching online and you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you are an overcomer. But then we go to the book of Revelation. And let's look at the book of Revelation because it has the word overcome, but it has it in a different sense. And that's what I want to show you tonight, a little bit different. Revelation chapter 2. The book of Revelation chapter 2. And again, it's not, let me just throw this out there. It's not the book of Revelations. So often I'm watching and talking to people. You even see it on TV sometimes when people say the Revelations. Turn to Revelations chapter 2. It's not plural, it's singular. What revelation means is the revealing of God. It's talking about the revelation of God. He's trying to show us what God is going to show us. And so there aren't revelations, there's just one revelation. The Revelation, chapter 2, verses, let's go to chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7. Look at this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh. Now go to verse number 11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Verse 17. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat the hidden manna. Chapter 3 of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar. We see the word overcomer two different times. In 1 John, written by John, and we see it in Revelation, written by John. It's the same definition of overcomer that's found in 1 John, but it's used as an action. So in Revelation, he says, in 1 John, he says, you are an overcomer. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. You have overcome death, burial, and the grave. You are an overcomer. But when you go to now Revelation, he says you are overcoming. You're not just an overcoming, but you are overcoming. 1 John was written 90 AD. In 1 John 5 and 5, John's writing to those that accepted Christ, overcomers. But we see in Revelation now, the same John in 95 AD, in chapters 2 and 3, we see him stating, he that overcometh shall overcome. He shall overcome. We are overcomers who are constantly overcoming if we're living for the Lord in our lives. But I venture to say, I don't know your heart. I don't know your heart. I would only hope and pray that each and every one of us sitting here and standing here today are an overcomer in Jesus Christ who has accepted him. But I would also venture to say that even though you are an overcomer, you're not overcoming. There's a difference. We are overcomers. We've got the victory through Jesus Christ. But there's some of us tonight that are not overcoming. We haven't stepped out by faith. Things are in our lives are holding us down. We're not doing what the Lord has asked us to do. Or it could be that maybe the situation that has slowed our Christian growth, it's made us become not overcoming. Why is John stating these as overcomers? When we see the overcoming, you may be sitting here and you've accepted him as Christ, but you're not overcoming in Christ. Let me give you an illustration to make it more clear. Okay, so when you got married, for those that are married in here, when you got married, that day you got married, you asked your wife to marry you. Afterwards, the preacher signed something, a license, a marriage certificate. That was a legal binding certificate that says you and your spouse are husband and wife. It's a marital certificate. But now that you've been married 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 30 years, we're not just going through the legality of marriage, but now it's the experience of marriage. Okay? And I venture to say, and if you haven't, there's been times in your life where you and your spouse might have had a spat between each other. Amen? I'll leave it there. Amen. It could have been that you got mad at her, she got mad at you, and it could have been a period of time that maybe you might not have talked for a day or 2 days or 3 days. Or until the couch got so hard you went back and said, I'm sorry, right, man? Right, okay. The experience was different than the legality of the certificate. Even though you're saved, go with me, even though you're saved and you are an overcomer, There's going to be times that you're not overcoming in your Christian life because of the experiences you're going through. May it be challenges, may it be difficulties, may it be times with family members or children or financial or job or spiritual, whatever it is, you are an overcomer legally through Christ Jesus, accepting Him as your personal Savior, but you're not overcoming. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is how do you get to that point of overcoming? Overcoming in our lives. And you know what? Look to your right. Look to your left. That person that you looked at on both sides of you cannot get you to be an overcomer. It's a personal decision. That person cannot have you to be an overcomer. You've got to do that personally. That person cannot help you overcoming, okay, because of the human nature that we have. But it's only through Christ Jesus that's the one that can help us go through overcoming. It's almost an illustration of authority versus power. If you remember, several weeks ago, maybe it's been a couple months ago, I talked about the referee on the ball field. And we talked about the football players on the ball field. And we had these big muscular linemen and big muscular running backs and quarterbacks, and they're powerful and they can bench press 400 pounds and deadlift 500 pounds, and they're powerful individuals, and they get on that football field. And all of a sudden, one guy crashes and hits one guy on the side and knocks him off, and there's a flag that comes out. And all of a sudden, that referee throws that yellow flag. Penalty, 15-yard blindsiding. And he's addressing it to this big, powerful running back that's 225 pounds and 6'1". And even though the running back is the power back, the referee has the authority to throw the yellow flag. Think about it from a spiritual sense. Think about it from a spiritual sense. Even though Satan has the power, Christ has the authority in our lives. He's the one that can gives the authority to it. I was watching a baseball game a couple weeks ago. Might have been last week. And, you know, when you watch a baseball game and there's a ruling on the field and the umpire says, okay, you're out, all of a sudden there's a challenge. And the challenge comes from one of the teams, the other team. And all of a sudden they throw up their hands and say, we want to challenge that call. We want to overrule that call, which, by the way, is one of the defining words of overcomer, overruling the decision that was made. That manager calls out and says, I want to challenge that call. And I was watching the game, and all of a sudden they bring out that little television set, that little monitor out there, and they're sitting there watching it, and all of a sudden the guy, the referee's talking to the guy in New York or wherever they're at, and they say, okay, we're looking at it slow motion. Here's our decision. And the umpire comes out and says, after further review, we found that the first baseman did not have his foot on the bag when he caught the ball. The play on the field is overruled. The man on first base is safe. That's exactly what being an overcomer is when we're overcoming. You know what it is? We overrule. We say, you know what? I've got the power of God in my life. I got Christ Jesus as my personal Savior. I know the world is saying this is the way it should be. This is the call that's made. But I, being an overcomer, can overrule that by my actions, by what you do. I can't help you overcome a bad decision. That's something between you and the Lord. I can't help you overcome those situations. I can't overrule it. That's where personally you've got to do that. You've got to be that overcoming person in your life. We have the power to make our own decisions, good or bad. That's the free will God's given us. But in the end, God has the authority and ability to decide the final outcomes in our lives. He has that power. You know, 10 days ago we celebrated Easter, the greatest occasion in Christianity, Christ overcoming death, burial, and the grave, and His ascension back to heaven. But if you think about the authority, His adversaries, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Roman government, the Sanhedrin, everybody had said that no, He should be crucified, but yet God overruled and said, you know what? I have the power to overrule that. I have the power. God has the authority to overcome that which was overruled. So why does God allow situations to enter in our lives? Why do bad things happen to good people? You've heard that line before. Why do bad things happen to good people? Sin, tragedy, physical, emotional, spiritual battles. Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good. Okay. several reasons that I have found by different writers that said, why do those things happen to good people? Number one, it allows us to demonstrate His glory through our personal battle. It allows Him to be glorified when we're going through a battle. When people see you going through a tough time, whatever it is in your situation, people see that, and they might not even be a Christian, but they say, you know, there's something about you that's different. I would never have been able to battle through and overcome what you're going through. Amen? You are a testimony to others when you do that. Secondly, it helps us to live through an experience and an opportunity to be an overcomer. I know a lot of times I'm a sports guy. I know a lot of times when during spring training in baseball or maybe it's preseason in football and you have interviews with guys that play either sport and they say, you know, what's your goal for this year? And they say, man, we want to get to be the World Series. We want to be the World Series champions. Or you ask the football guy, what's your goal for this year? I want to be the Super Bowl champ. Well, why is that? Because I experienced it one time. It's top of the mountain. Why does God bring situations in our lives? Because look back in history, rewind yourself, think back to a time where all of a sudden you said, you know what, I have no hope at this point. God, I'm going to give it to you and let you handle it because I know you have authority, you have the rule, and you come out victorious on the other side. How does that help you get through on your next challenge in your life? You can go back and say, you know what, He brought me through that time. He's going to bring me back through again this time. Amen. It helps you to have that mountaintop experience to go back and remember when He brought you through what was going on. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 8:37, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. It prepares us to be able to withstand the next challenge. It deepens our faith and walk with Christ. I know as a young married couple, when Karen and I started out, I had the bakery uptown. Weren't making a whole lot of money, but we had a lot of bread and donuts and stuff like that. But I can remember times when we'd be sitting there talking, and she'd say, well, you know, we got the bills coming up, and we have to pay this bill and this bill and this bill. And she says, I need this amount of money. And I'd write a check to her, and I'd look at the balance of what I had in my checking account at the bakery, and it was like $20. And she said, we'll have to do with what we have to do. God's brought us this far. And you know what? We've never missed a meal. We've gone out and did things we wanted to do. He's taken care of all of our needs. And you know what? He's even taken care of a bunch of our wants. That's what happens when you fully trust in Christ. When you say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to overcome these situations. I'm going to be an overcomer through these situations. I'm going to trust you for it. It helps you. It draws your faith closer to Him. But I can't do it for you. You've got to do it for you. We're conquerors through Christ Jesus. What's it take to be an overcomer? We know who we are, whose we are, and what we've been given. Know who we are, whose we are, and what we've been given. Walking in this evening, it was pouring cats and dogs over in Carrollton. And I said, you know what, I better bring my umbrella because I don't know what it's going to be like in Bowden. And as I pulled up, it stopped raining. But that umbrella allowed me, if it was pouring cats and dogs, to be able to walk in there and protect me because I had it. But if I took that umbrella, guys, and I just said, you know what? It looked like it's going to be okay. And I started using that umbrella as a cane walking in or doing something stupid. And all of a sudden it's pouring on me. Okay. I'm going to get soaking wet. I had the tool to overcome, but I didn't utilize the tool, and I wasn't overcoming. You've got the tool. I've got the tool to overcome. But because I didn't open up that umbrella and allow it to do its thing to work over me and protect me and keep me dry, I did not overcome the rain showers. In our lives, God's given us tools. He's given us scripture. He's given us good Christian friends. He's given us devotional and Bible readings and study books. He's given us all the tools that we need. He's given us the books of the Bible to read and study and be prepared for when those things happen. But you know what? If we don't use it, we lay it aside. Here comes those fiery showers from Satan. He's going to destroy us. He's going to absolutely destroy us and destroy our testimony and destroy our joy and everything that goes with it. We have the tool that we need. We just need to use it. Somebody wrote, we have all we need, just not using what we have to be an overcomer. And it's so true. Ephesians 6:16. Look at it real quick. Talking about the tools that we have. Ephesians 6:16. Talks about the Roman shield. I did a little quick study on this afternoon. I started at the beginning of the week. But 6:16. Look at the tools that Christ has given us. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, principalities, powers, against the rulers of the dark. 13. Wherefore, take with you the whole armor of God. In 13. 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. 15. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 16. Here, above all. What does that mean? Above all. That means beside everything else, here's the most important part. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. If you go back and study what that shield of faith was, the Roman soldiers, what they would do is when they went out to battle and knew they were going to go to battle against somebody who possibly had those arrows that had fiery darts on the end. What the Roman soldiers would do is their shields were about 6 foot tall, about 3 feet wide. And when they were going to battle, they would hold those shields up in front of themselves. They couldn't get hit. But if they knew they were going to battle against somebody who was using the fiery darts, the fiery arrows, they would take that day before, take that shield and soak it in water and soak it in water and soak it in water and soak it in water. So that when they went to battle, all of a sudden they put up that shield. The enemy would take that arrow, light it with an oil fire, with oil, shoot that arrow off into the Roman soldier's shield. It would sit there and it would basically just die itself out because it was going into the water. Think about water. Help me spiritually. Put your spiritual hats on. The water of the Word. Think about the water. The water, the gospel of Christ. How can we fight off the fiery temptations? How can we fight off the fires? Think about it. Water is the prayer. The water is the Word. The water is soaked. The water in Scripture talks about in times of attacks, we're to seek the direction, encouragement, protection of the Spirit of God. So in order for us to fight the fiery darts when we're fighting against Satan, remember that during the rainstorms the whole time we had an umbrella, we had the shield of faith. We had that we could cast aside and put aside for us to fight off that which was coming towards us. What's it take to be an overcomer? Let me close here. What's it take to be an overcomer? See Jesus who for He really is. See Jesus for who He really is. What's it take to be an overcomer? See Him for who He is. Yes, we talk about Jesus being the babe in the manger, the carpenter's son, the builder, the great teacher, the rabbi. Matthew 19:14, suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We see Jesus as meek and mild, which is true. But to be an overcomer, we must see Him as John has saw Him. We must see Jesus as John saw Him. Go over now to Revelation. I think it's Revelation chapter 1, the book of Revelation. Let's see Jesus as John saw Him. Revelation chapter 1, verse number, I think it's going to start off with 7. Revelation chapter 1, 7. But if we walk in the light, I'm sorry, that's John. Revelation 1 and 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. It talks about cometh in clouds. It means everybody's going to see Jesus. If we're going to be overcomers, if we're going to overcome that that's in the world, we've got to see Jesus not just as that meek and mild individual, but we got to see Him as the warrior. We got to see Him as the one that's going to take us through those trying times. 1 and 7 says, cometh with clouds. Look at 1 and 10. I was in the Spirit of the Lord that Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Think about what the trumpet was. What it's talking about there is the trumpeter, the herald. Anytime there was an important announcement to be made, anytime the king or one of the leaders of that city or that town or that state that they were there, the trumpeter would come out and blow the trumpet. People would come and listen to hear what's going on. Why? Because it was something of importance. We see here Jesus. We see here coming down in 1 and 10. Look at 1:7, 1:11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega. That's the beginning and end. The first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Alpha and beginning and end. The God who is, who was, and is about to arrive. He says, I'm the sovereign, strong God of this world. 1:14 says, his hand and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His eyes were, he was seeing all. Wool is purity, pure is wisdom, divine in nature. Eyes were as a flame of fire, all seeing. None will be removed from the judgment of Christ at his coming. 1:15, and his feet unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace, his voice the sound of many waters. The fine brass talks about judgment. It talks about the judgment of Christ, the firm, the strong, the dependable, the able to withstand the judgment. And they said it heard his voice as many strong waters. It talked about hearing. When you go to the ocean, sometimes we'll just sit there. Karen and I have just sat there and listened to the waters coming in and the roaring and the sounds. Just think of it. It says many waters, not just the ocean, but it says many waters, the sound of magnificentness of Christ. Look what he did to John, 1:17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He said, that man fell as a dead man. John said, I saw this. I saw Jesus coming. He said, I was overwhelmed by what I saw. That's exactly the way we need to see Christ in our lives. Not just this meek and mild individual, but we need to see him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that's going to come in judgment with fire in his eye. It talks about brass, meaning the judgment. When we shift and see how, and when we shift ourselves and see how Jesus is as the Almighty, he then shifts himself to see us. When we finally get to that point in our lives where we see Jesus for who he is, for what he did on Easter this past year, 10 days ago, we see that Jesus, the one that overcame death, the burial, and the grave, all of a sudden we have a new vision of what he is. He sees us as a new vision in his eyes as well. We must identify with Christ through a renewed commitment. John 14:15. How are we going to be an overcomer and continue to be overcoming? With a renewed commitment. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. As a spouse, we would give our life for our husband and our wives. As a father, as a granddad, I would give my life over as a parent for my kids and my grandchildren. Philippians 3:10, that if I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. When Paul was writing, he said, for me to know him, the power of his resurrection. See, Paul, in writing Philippians, he saw Jesus as a different individual, as a powerful individual. And then lastly, as an identifiable testimony. We must identify Christ through a renewed commitment, but in an identified testimony. Here's where it hits home. God's not looking for undercover Christian agents. He's not looking for undercover Christian agents. He's not looking for those that are just want to be part-time Christianity, but receive full-time benefits. He's not looking for that. He's looking for somebody who's going to give their life for him. Matthew 10:32. Whoever, therefore, shall confess me before him, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. If he gave his life for us, if he was beaten, if he was scourged, if he had his beard plucked out, he was beaten to a pulp, were you unrecognizable, how much more should we be able to get out and be a testimony and a witness to him to the world? That's our calling. That's what we should be doing. We should have that. God has placed victory within our reach, but not in our hand. Think about it. God has placed victory within our reach, but not in our hand. Why? James 2:18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Your testimony, your actions are what people hear. Think about it. On the job, in line at Walmart, handing out tracts at the Dollar Tree, wherever you're at, are you having that testimony to others that say, you know what, I'm a Christian, and I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm not ashamed of it. Scripture talks about it. You'll be ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed to tell God about you. Be an overcomer. We are overcomers if you've accepted Christ. But we can be overcoming if we'll just accept Him and the power that He's given us. Brother Mike.